This is the E-Square Podcast recording live from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection.
Elevate your mind. Expand your thinking.
And so my fellow Americans.
It's the E-Square Podcast.
It's the E-Square Podcast. I'm Easy Mo, and today we got my longtime friend, somebody I've watched their journey for years and years and years now, DJ K&M. How you feeling, man?
Hey, man, you know, just working, bro. Tired still from that Rod Wave show. Still tired.
Super lit. Super lit. When you talk, just try to talk in the mic so we can hear you loud and clear. But yeah, that Rod Wave, congratulations. Massive success.
Thank you, man. Me and my team, you know, we really did that.
Facts, bro. Facts. Yeah. How are you feeling now? What is it, two days afterwards?
Still beat up. Yo, you know, show week started Monday, man. That's when it really kicked in. Like, yo, we're really doing this, you know.
Yeah.
Announced it like a month and a half. And then from there, I'm just like, I didn't really believe that we're doing that many people in that building, Thomas and Mac. Like, that was like a dream. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It went
amazing.
It went smooth, bro.
It did.
I had some trouble getting in VIP. I'm like, you know, I'll take you up on that next time. But no, I was there and it was beautiful, man. It was everything was smooth. The performances were smooth. Yeah. Shout out Teddy. He killed it. Shout out Prince Tay. He killed it. Facts. Shout out DJ Patrick Cornette. Yo. He killed it.
His backflip is what set it off.
Bro, I was just texting him. He's supposed to come today and have an interview as well, but he's supposed to, bro. Like, you just did a backflip, bro? And then he played that Mexican song and then dropped transitioned into something. I forgot what it was, but that was lit. I was like, damn, bro was really out here seizing the moment.
Yeah, he was. He was ready.
Yeah,
as soon as he walked in the building, he was already ready.
Yeah, he's a ball of energy, for real.
No, seriously, yeah. When he took his shirt off, I'm like, man, do I got to take my shirt off next?
Oh, you should have. You would have shut that bitch down, my boy.
How do we move forward? I'm talking about my team today. Like, how do we move forward from that? So we got to book a DJ that do a backflip every show.
Bro, you can't. Like, he's the only one. How did you guys book him though? Like, how
that was through Icon. That was his DJ.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, when Icon had like mentioned him, looked him up. I'm like, yo, he's pretty lit. Like, he does his sets like in the middle of nowhere and like in the desert and stuff. He was pretty lit.
Yeah, I met him. I met him at Dre's. So I didn't even know he was performing that night. When he was performing, he was lit. But other than that, bro, the whole show was smooth.
Not even started, man.
What, your hookah? Yeah, the first guest with a hookah on the show.
Yeah,
this is history being made.
Some Soulja Boy shit right here.
Yeah, hookah. You are a hookah head, man. Y'all be fucking them hookahs up.
Listen. I would have had one for you. You know what I'm saying?
Thanks. Yeah, but you're selfish. Just like my VIP pass wasn't ready for me. You didn't have the hookah ready for me.
Blame your boy, Teddy.
Teddy, man. That fucking guy. Nah, but how did you feel about Teddy's performance?
Oh, it was lit. You know,
it was good, yeah.
We had rehearsed that performance probably like 5 to 6 times before the period, prior to the show.
Mm-hmm.
It was even right after Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
We went and we was just in work mode. It was like just going in.
Yeah.
And like during the rehearsals, we're like, all right, we're missing this. Let's add that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole bed thing was really Teddy's thing.
Yeah, this motherfucker called me.
I was right there.
I know. You wanted me to build him a bed in one day. Yep. I'm like, no, it's a good idea, though. It's a good idea.
You didn't want to do it because you didn't think he was going to really...
Well, because I know how he is, bro. he'll shoot a whole video and never drop that bitch because, you know, at the last minute, he's like, no. You know what I mean? So I thought it was one of his brilliant ideas, but it came out... It was a dope idea.
Yeah.
It came out well. But one question regarding Teddy Crooklyn. How come you guys didn't play All in One? For the fans, for people that have been there along the journey, that would have been a perfect opportunity to play that song. Because that song
about
still
that
has
during
life.
During rehearsals, we was like, yo, should we drop All in One or should we not? And we was thinking of doing it, and then it was like, let's drop some stuff that's away from that lane. Because at first, I was thinking like, man, there's gonna be a majority of kids, so I didn't want to be like Ratchet, Bad Bitch, and a lady. You know what I'm saying? So
it's a Rodway
concert.
We
get to the concert and I just see all the old folks and the youngins in the business. I'm like, oh, you know what? We could have did All in One.
You should have, because...
But that one song that he dropped, that he performed last. Mm-hmm. It's called Bed.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hit right there.
It's did he even is that even out yet?
Yeah, we dropped it just so people could Shazam it, and a lot of people Shazammed it that night.
So another classic Teddy movie drops a song and doesn't post about it or anything.
Yeah, just so yeah, classic, when people was classic. Videotaping it and stuff, yeah. It popped up like on Shazam. When we looked up the next day, we were like, yo, like so many people Shazammed this. And people was reposting it on Facebook
too. Dope. Yeah, but I still feel like All in One is one of them songs that can just, you never know when it can, it's still got life, bro. It's still got life. Don't give up on that shit. It's old to you, but it's new to the world, bro.
It's not old. So look, a lot of artists that do music like that, that drop, for example, they drop right now, and then 5 years later, it'll blow up.
Yeah, exactly. So exactly what I'm saying.
It still hasn't even reached its full potential yet. We haven't put marketing behind it. Like, there's a lot of stuff that we're working on for 2022 and stuff. So.
So let's get it, because I've known you for probably like 6 years now, maybe plus whatever. But, yeah. You know, I've seen, like a lot of us have, we've been along for...
Man, let me fix this, because this is embarrassing on camera right now. This ain't even hitting.
Talking shit about you right now. Yeah, like, look at this motherfucker. Sure.
Pretty sure.
Where's Helena when you need her?
Hey, the hookah queen, yes.
Helena.
Where are you?
Yo.
Need you to serve right now.
Yeah, but a lot of us, we've been a part of your journey for, you know, 6, 7+ years. You know, you've been fucking doing this promotion shit. Like, bro, you're so young. How old are you?
26.
Oh, I thought you were younger. But you've been doing this for so long already, and it's almost like you're an OG in the game, specifically in Vegas. And
I'm humble, bro. I'm cool.
I'll give it to you because you've paid so many dues, and but you haven't quit.
No.
You know what I mean?
There's a lot of trial and error. Trust me. You know what happened behind closed doors, all the artists we've booked in the past, and all the mistakes we've made in the past, mm-hmm. you know. Man, it was bad. Like let's start from like the LV promoter days, you know.
Okay. So how old were you when you threw your first party?
Man, 17. I was
in high school still.
I just graduated high school.
Mm. What made you want to throw a party?
Man, I just Let's take it way back before I even became a promoter.
Okay.
I started off as a DJ.
Right.
I started off as a DJ at a hookah lounge called Smoke in Vegas, right there on Silverado and Bermuda.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I met everyone. That's where I met Teddy, that's where I met Helena, that's where I met Travis, James, everyone. I started DJing at Smoke in Vegas, and when I would DJ there, you know, it wouldn't be as packed as how I want the full potential to be.
Right.
So I'm like, man, you know, I want to build my DJ brand and have people following me behind that as well.
Yeah.
So I created a little promotion company called LV Promoters.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bunch of people that we had on that team that were like go-getters. Like, mm-hmm. we would give them tickets, and they would slam them tickets like hotcakes. Like, that ticket, like I would give 10 to one promoter, and like the next 30 minutes, he'd be calling me like, "Hey, bro, I need more tickets." So it started like really getting big after the hookah lounge days. We started throwing warehouse parties.
Mm-hmm.
The hookah lounge thing, I was still doing on the side, but I wanted to get bigger than just being at a hookah lounge. I wanted to evolve and start throwing.
What was it in you that like pushed you to that next level? Like, and because, you know, a lot of DJs try to promote, you know, they try to get into that lane. But what do you think like made you actually be able to put something together?
I think it was that warehouse party that we did with Abu and DJ Valet.
Mm.
That's really like when we really started taking everything to the next level, you know. We had booked Love Rance. That was the first artist we had booked. And then we had booked D-Mac. We had D-Mac come out here and stuff. Mm. So it was just like, it was just a trifling effect. Like everybody played their part. Everybody that was been in my life or in the part of the journey, they all played a big factor. And I appreciate every single person that stood behind me and believed into what I got going on and still here from that day on. I appreciate every single one of them, you know.
Facts.
Some people, you know, just some people that I've worked with, we all just stir in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, sometimes you don't see eye to eye, or you see a bigger opportunity. And, you know, I'm about caring for others. And sometimes, you know, when you care for others, it kind of like messes up your own drive.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when you split up with other certain entities and move to a different path to go to where you want to go, that's how you elevate, you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right. It ain't grow, yeah.
We're not cutting nobody off. It's just elevating. It's just part of growth.
It's like, you know, a snake, I mean? Shedding its skin.
Yeah, it's just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I mean, in order to be around as long as you've been doing it and throw the kinds of parties that you've been throwing and concerts,
yeah,
it's like, it takes something special inside DJ K&M that you have to,
man, even though like
I gotta give you your flowers, bro. Like you are OG out here. You're definitely, you know, whether people like you, hate you, have anything to say about you, whatever the case is, bro, like you do your shit. You've been doing your shit for a long time. And I gotta give you your flowers, man. Congratulations on everything you've done.
I appreciate you.
Rod Wave was just like, you know, I'm sure, you know, it's an accumulation. Like it was a big show, but I'm already knowing like it's about to get even bigger. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. We, right now, like just today, we was already plotting on something big that we got coming up next. Even though I'm like the face of the, you know, because I'm a DJ, I'll be out there really promoting and stuff. There's a lot of people behind closed doors, behind my back, that really make stuff happen for me, man. You know, James wasn't always the original person there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys know who James is.
Mm-hmm. You've
seen him.
Mm-hmm.
Travis. Mm-hmm. Like, Travis has been there since day one.
Yeah.
Travis has been there since day one. Smoking Vegas days, he's been there since day one.
Mm-hmm.
He's the same person that introduced me to Teddy. Mm-hmm. You know, without Travis, I would have never met Teddy. And mm-hmm. I see a lot of potential in Teddy, and just Teddy, like, you know how Teddy is. He just, when he make music, he don't want to drop it. He'll hold on to that shit for years.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
When I be hearing his music, that shit just, I'm like, yo, that's the one.
Yeah.
But anyways, so like, a lot of people that play a huge part behind, you know, all the shows, not just me, you know, like James and Travis, they do their thing. Like,
yeah.
Especially James, I don't even got to ask the man to do stuff and he just be up there doing his thing.
Yeah.
So I don't want to take, you know, I don't want to take no full credit for all the stuff that's happening.
No, you need a team,
man.
For sure, bro. You know, it's not, definitely
Rome,
not.
Rome wasn't built in a day and Rome wasn't built by itself. It's a whole team behind that.
Facts.
And without the team moving together as a unit, it's not going to happen. It ain't going to work.
Facts. It is. Maybe that's what I was referring to then, because you do have a solid team, people that have been around you for a minute. And, you know, there's been some characters that have came and went.
You
know, but
and that's what I was talking about when moving different paths and not seeing eye to eye with some people. So
how have you learned the business though? Like because these throwing parties and having venues and dealing with venues, like this is very business. You got to do business. You got to know how to do business. You got to know how to talk. You got to know to ask for so you don't get fucked. Like, how did you learn all this? Did you have a mentor?
I did have a mentor. He goes by the name of Nesta B.
Mm.
You know, growing up, like, he helped me a lot. Like, you know, the very first major show we've ever booked, I believe, was it was OT Genesis. Mm. That was the biggest costly mistake we've ever done as a whole at Hard Rock Live, when you booked this man for, like, you know, like, over 50 plus G's and the show just doesn't go
as well
as how we wanted to. It was that was my first big show that I've ever done. So there was a lot of like costly mistakes that we fucked up on. And you know, showtime, you got that many people there and OT out there looking for his back end. and when a lot of people, like, you know, when you book an artist, a lot of people be like, oh, maybe that promoter didn't pay the whole back end. But listen, my team is fire. We always pay the back end. Listen, like, a lot of people talking about the Rod Wave shows, like, oh, he didn't perform this long because the promoter didn't pay his back end. Listen, that man got paid.
The
Beano show.
That's my fucking performed three songs.
That man got paid, and it wasn't even three songs. It was about eight. I got the roster list.
I know, I'm exaggerating.
But he, you know, a lot of people in the city, they talk, you know what I'm saying? They talk and they just want to be able to have something to talk about. But at the end of the day, cool, you know, any publicity is cool publicity. It doesn't matter what if it's bad or not, because at the end of the day, we all know what we're doing right. Mm-hmm. I've never been no janky promoter. I don't do none of that stuff, bro. Mm-hmm. It's just I really do care about the city. Like, when we throw stuff, we don't just throw stuff for the bread. We don't throw stuff just to get out there, bro. I'm not here for the popularity. We really do this for you guys to have a memorable time, you know.
Yeah, a lot of shows that you've thrown have, you know, I say this about like people like Waves, the store Waves and Alchemy and, you know, other stores like that, and people like you as well. Like, you provide an opportunity for people, you know, regular kids, regular people to touch the culture, to, you know, feel it and make it tangible. You know what I mean?
For sure.
You know, those underground shows, like a Beano show. Yeah, you know, that's something
The Blast Show. Yeah.
A lot of us wouldn't be able to, even Blueface and all these people. You know?
That Blueface show is probably the funnest show, even though, you know, it didn't turn, it was just a lot of because at the time when Blueface was blowing up, he was under a lot of news outlets. News outlets doing negative stuff, or people was trying to portray him to what he. That man is super humble, bro. When we met him out here, he's super humble. He was real cool. People's, you know, when we had picked him up with the whip, man, we still had stuff in the back of the trunk. He out there grabbing stuff from the trunk, hey, bro, where you want to put this? He was I'm just trying to make it to my show because I want to give my fans a great show.
Yeah, that's dope.
So, yeah, when I look for artists such as Blueface, I knew he was next up, just listen to his music. And man, when we had him out here, it was a great show. I don't know if you made it to that one.
I'm not I stay away from certain shows. I stay away. I've been in the crossfire too many times, man. I gotta stay out the way sometimes, man. You know?
I hear you.
And I love hip hop. I love going to shows. You know what I mean? But I can't imagine. If I was a promoter, I would never book somebody like Blueface ever. What? It's just the chaos, crowd.
That chance, though.
I mean,
that's a lovely part about it, bro.
That's why the world has people like you in it. You know what I'm saying? For real, that can take those risks. Yeah. You know, that LA shit is different. That shit is hot.
Let's see. Nipsey Hussle. That was presented to me by Abu.
Oh wow.
Abu presented me Nipsey Hussle. He wanted to throw Nipsey Hussle out here, but when? We couldn't this was back when he was alive, of course, you know.
Like 2016, 2015.
I want to say 20,
cuz he did perform out here on the Strip at that one.
Yeah, he did it one at Tommy Wynn Theater.
Yeah.
But they got so much heat off of that. It wasn't even approved by the city. Mm. When you throw shows out here, just know when we can't throw certain artists, it's not us.
Mm.
There's cowboys that run this city.
Right.
There's higher above that say if they don't mess with that artist and they feel that artist is a negative entity, they're not gonna let the show happen. Yeah. No matter if the venue is legit or not, they're gonna come there and they're gonna do whatever they can to stop that show from happening. That Nipsey show could have been way bigger than what it was, but it was.
Yeah, have you been able to deal with that? Because we know Las Vegas isn't a hip hop friendly town per se, and hasn't been. And have you what kind of interactions have you had with the police and
throwing Blueface? That interaction we had with Blueface was crazy. We had the chief of police emailing his fire, talking about you guys can't throw this show. That he's gonna bring, you know, negative energy.
Are they legally allowed to say that though?
Legally, they're allowed to advise
you,
but they, you know, them stopping the show, that's to their advisement. They could use whatever, you know, excuse they can to come up with to stop that show. But legally, they can't tell me hey, you can't throw that show. They can advise me not to throw that show, but they'll just make it harder for me to go throw that show
in
the venue. So,
damn. Has that communication been smooth? Are you
We've been ever since, you know, we had thrown the Beano show. Man, Metro, been on our side. Everything we do, they've been supportive and stuff.
That's how it has to be in order for things to move smoothly.
Yeah. We got this. I don't know if I'm supposed to say it.
What? You dropping a new... No, I'll drop this interview after you make the announcement. It's cool.
Okay, cool. We got a little Dirt coming up in the room.
Wasn't he at the show?
No, he wasn't at the show.
So why were they capping?
YK Osiris was at the show. You know who was crazy? We never said that.
What DJ was saying, Dirk is in a building at the Rod Wave concert.
What? Do you, somebody said that? Some,
bro, like four times. Lil Durk is in the building. And the crowd went crazy. Yeah, right before Prince Tay, I was like, where the fuck is he at? I didn't see him on stage or nothing. I figured he was.
YK Osiris was there, but I've never.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, YK Osiris was there for sure.
He was.
Huh? Yeah, there was another artist there.
There were some people there. There was one dude, Mickey, that motherfucker takes all the rappers gambling and shit. He's famous.
YK was there. He wanted to perform. You know,
he wanted to.
Yeah, he wanted to perform. He said he had an unreleased album, the unreleased track that he wanted to put out there and perform in front of everyone.
So why couldn't
we couldn't get
happen?
The clearance? We couldn't get the clearance from our team. Like our
what
team
do you
was
mean?
Just like,
give him a mic.
Listen, bro. Rod Wave just headlined the show, and then you're gonna have YK perform right after him.
After?
Yeah.
Oh, why didn't you put him before? Why didn't
he came right when Rod was performing? Like he put up. He came out of nowhere. Like I'm. We're all on stage looking
for the free. He would have performed for the free.
He just wanted to get his music out there.
Oh,
yeah,
damn. Yeah.
But it was just like we was all thinking, like, man, if that's a big slap,
that would have been crazy.
Yeah,
if YK Osiris would have, but I don't know, like, oh, cause he knows Prince Tay. Yeah, him and Prince Tay got that song together. That's right. Yeah, hell yeah. So you've been at this for so long, man. What kind of lessons have you learned, bro? You know, throwing parties,
contracts. Everything gotta be on the paper, or you know, you gonna shoot yourself in the leg. There's like, for example, OT Genesis. When we booked OT Genesis, I had forgotten to put no after party exclusivity. You know, he posted after party before my show was even announced, and everybody ended up going to his after party instead of coming to our stuff at our Rock Live. So it shot us up in the leg.
So after party exclusivity where they can't even have an after party unless it's with you.
Unless it's with me, or unless I give him, you know, permission until after my show sold out.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
It's a lot, bro. Yeah. I'm telling you. Because
a lot of people skip on a concert just to go to the after party.
Yeah, because it's more cheaper to go to the after party.
And then artists will just like, oh, he didn't give me an exclusivity clause. I'm about to hit up my promoters
They're smart about it. Yeah. That's what the first thing they do is if they don't see that on the contract, they won't tell you.
Right.
You know, they'll sign a contract and be like, oh, yeah, let's run this. And then after you sign it, then they'll start looking for an after party. It happens all the time. Yeah, it happens all the time. A lot of the new future promoters that's on the come up right now, always make sure your contract is legit. You got the exclusivity right on all the shows that you got coming up, all the artists and all the parties, events, even walkthroughs. It doesn't matter. Whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like when you book artists, especially if they're expensive, you got to make sure you get the exclusivity rights on everything.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because then you shooting yourself in the leg. They could, you know, artists that, you know, no disrespect to artists, but they care about their bread. So whatever way they can make their bread in the city, they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Dylan. Can you answer? This is Dylan Jacob. My bad. Oh, no. Yo, Dylan. What up, bro? You here? All right. I'm doing a podcast. Right? I'm going to give the phone to my boy Easy. All right. Yeah. Exclusivity. Yeah, you got to have the contracts. And you got fucked over a couple times doing that shit.
Majorly, it was really just OT Genesis. Yeah, that's, you know, we lost a lot of bread for them. That was a really costly lesson, and after that, that's when I started really making sure the contract was on point. Every time we make a contract, I got key points that I got to make sure that I'm putting on that contract.
Yeah. Do you have a lawyer and all this?
We use this, like, website that checks over the contracts and stuff, but ever since we became, like, doing big shows, like for It's Fire, we do have a attorney that we have on a retainer for show.
Yeah. How do you get in touch with these artists? How do you get in touch with a Rod Wave, with a Lil Durk, with a, you know, Beano? How do you get in touch with these people?
So honestly, the Rod Wave, that was all Icon Presents. You know, he brought that onto the table and stuff. And the Lil Durk thing, that was Icon Presents. You know, he brings a lot of stuff to the table when it comes to artists and stuff. And
having
an agent really helps. You know, even though the agent will have that broker fee for that booking fee, that cost and stuff, sometimes it's worth it, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's worth it to go directly to the artist management or go through the agent. Right. If an artist is way too big, like for example, Rod Wave, there's no way you can contact Rod Wave through no DM, no email. Right. You gotta go through
an agent to know somebody.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so relationships, you know, the whole music game is pretty much, you know, based off of relationships.
It is. And that's why I always nurture a lot of my relationships and stuff that I come upon, and I let that bloom. You know, even though you drop that seed in there, one day it's going to bloom, because at the end of the day, like, I meet you, like, for example, you told me I met you 6 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
look where we at now. I'm across paths with you no matter what.
Right,
a lot of like these promoters that burn these bridges with me or other people, that shoots himself in the leg because I'm going to run into you. I'm going to see you down the road.
Yeah.
You're going to see me doing something big or you want to collab on something and I'm going to tell you nah, bro, because you fucked me over already. Yeah. Cool.
One and done.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
how is that cross promoting? I'm sure a lot of these other promoters they hit you up and they want to just kind of ride off your coattail a little bit, maybe. Because,
you know, a lot of like promoters that approach me, I don't really want to work with a lot of them. I try to stay everything all in house just because I'm very selective on who you work with because of our past. That's happened and stuff. So I try not to.
It's a big reflection on like everything that happens at that event is directly like there's been so many parties that have beat banger parties. Like,
look, bro, it's so many promoters, beat bangers. Yeah. Now it's fire. So
yeah, it is beautiful. It's a beautiful evolution, but
trial and errors came from back then.
Right. And things happen at parties, right?
Of course.
And whenever something happens at a party, K&M's fault.
It's really it's
K&M's fault.
It don't matter who's behind me.
It don't matter. It don't matter what's going on.
I could just be DJing and they'll be like, that motherfucker right there.
Yeah,
the Asian guy right there. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah. How do you deal with that pressure and that responsibility?
I just, you know, I brush it off. Like if something happened, you know, like, man, like you gotta look for it and figure out how it turned out bad and how we can turn that bad into good the next event to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Have you ever felt like you wanted to quit?
Plenty of times. There's a whole year that I took for rebranding. There's a whole year that I took and I stopped and I was like, you know, I don't even want to throw events right now. Like, I just want to focus on making sure the next event that I do throw is going to be a banger. Like, everyone's going to be like, yo, I want to keep coming back.
Yeah.
Before, when I first, like, started throwing events, I was young, you know, I just wanted to just shine and just throw the party for the fuck of it, you know, just to say that we threw a party. But now, like, growing up and seeing how everything is really like coming to fruition, like I'm just like, yo, these parties, we can't just throw these parties because we want to throw a party. We got to throw this party because we want to have people to have memories about us. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we were supposed to have famous decks for New Year's Eve, what, 2019 or 2018? Mm-hmm. That's when he was high, when he had that song. Was it Dripping My Walk?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he had that song. And then who do we have next up the famous deck? It even happened.
Mm-hmm.
It even happened because when we had booked Famous Dex, he was going through a lot of negative stuff too. Like, yeah. He beat up his girlfriend or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Allegedly. So you got to get these guys when they're hot too, huh?
Yeah, you on their come up. That's the best time to get.
Or like before they get too expensive.
Exactly. Yeah. That's when the profit comes. If you don't book them
Rod
at the
Wave,
right time.
We don't have to get into numbers.
Yeah.
But Lil Birdie told me that it was up there six figures and I was like, for Rod Wave? But he did bring a motherfucking crowd out, you know. So, you know, we don't have to get into numbers obviously, but
he got a cult, bro. Like,
yeah.
He got a major following. There was a lot of ticket buyers that bought from out of town. A lot of his people did come out, bro. Like, I know some people came from like Florida, California,
and
Arizona.
They made a
little vacation out of it. Yeah, people that came from the Rod Wave show on that Friday, they ended up going to our party at McFadden's on Saturday. A lot of people that came and stuff. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's that's crazy because people will, because it's Vegas, right? So you know you have that in your back pocket as well.
For sure.
Do you sell like packages and shit?
No, I don't, bro. I should, man. Everybody keeps like
a night,
me.
Like a concert ticket plus a table at McFadden's the next night.
Yeah,
plus maybe
we
work with a hotel promoter.
We was trying to create a little a membership thing,
like a concierge type shit.
We were trying to create a whole membership thing where you pay a subscription every month and then you get to come to certain events and you get, you know, comps and all this stuff.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
We creating something big like that for the next year. The team is really working out there, man.
Are you like thinking about doing anything outside of Las Vegas? I mean, I know you're in Arizona here and there.
Yeah. Like I said, in 2022, there's a lot of big things happening, man. We're gonna make our way out to Atlanta with Teddy. I know he was doing something in Brooklyn. One of our team members, Brian, he's setting up a lot of stuff. He got a lot of connections. Like you said, bro, it's about connections. When you got a lot of people in your group that got connections, you utilize that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Thanks,
like,
yeah.
you got to utilize your team, bro. It's not a one man show, so. Mm-hmm. I'm facts. Really big on team, bro. That's why, like, I wasn't even trying to come here without the team.
I know. Yo, shout out to Trav. Yo, shout out to James, my boy. I had to like pull teeth to get him here. Nothing against Trav or James. I just, you know, we talked about it, and I was prepared to sit down with K&M, so I didn't want to have you guys in here, and like I wasn't prepared for you guys as well. So that's the only reason why I just wanted a K&M.
And we had a whole, you know, I was on Instagram, you DMing you. We was on the phone. I was like, look, bro, I don't want y'all to feel some type of way that I'm out here doing this, bro. But
I love Trav though. I met James. I'm not as familiar with James, but Trav is my dog, so it's all love.
As much as y'all see me doing a lot of stuff in the media, James is the guy that makes the wheels move.
There's times
I'll be lazy. This man, we blowing up my phone, 30 missed calls, and I'll be like, maybe I should answer this 29th call, Nico, you motherfucker, bro, yo, fine, we got to get this done. I'm like, all right, bro, I'm sorry. Sometimes I get unmotivated and I don't want to work, but James keep me on my feet.
That's good. You need people around you. You need it. Yeah. You're nothing without the team, man.
Me and James be going at it a lot, but when we go at it a lot, he makes a lot of like sense in my head. Like, all right, we got to do this because of A, B, and C. And there's a lot of moves that we don't like that we make, but they're chess moves. You know what I'm saying? We didn't just go to the first time I went to Arizona. I didn't go out there just to DJ. Right. There was something bigger than that. We came back again, did an It's Far takeover at Arizona, and went majorly well. Mm-hmm. So again, we gonna come back again in 2022 and do something again over
there. It's popping down there in Phoenix, Scottsdale. And all that, yeah, Scottsdale's popping, yo. Yeah. I love it. It's a different
You gotta come out,
there.
Man. You gotta come next time.
Oh,
bro.
I'm there. Say less. Yeah. Say less.
Lock
bro.
That, bro, for you.
Hey, do you know who this artist named Lord Phoenix is? Lord PHX is? I've been going back and forth with him on Instagram. I'm gonna have him on the show. He's like he's popping out there in Phoenix.
Is he?
Yeah. Lord PHX on Instagram. Yeah,
you know, when we did the Kalen Ferro show out there, with Shorty and
Shorty,
yo,
I fuck with Shorty.
Yo, if you want Shorty to come out here, bro, yo, thing, we can make that happen. Bro.
Hey, say less. I'm a fan for real.
I'm a fan for real. He's cool people, bro. He's probably one of the most humblest people we've
dealt
with.
Yeah, do the podcast.
He'll do the podcast for sure. Wow. I just gotta talk to him. You know what
less,
I'm saying? Like,
if
we book him out here, like we were supposed to have something New Year's Eve and have him come and do a performance for our New Year's Eve party, but a lot of things just didn't work out to where we wanted to happen for New Year's Eve. Like, even though, like, Rod Wave was on the 17th, like, we could have had that 31st booming, you know what I mean? Mm. But I just, a lot of stuff with the venue didn't make sense, so we was just like, let's not do it. Let's just pass on it. If it was the O-K&M, we would have did that show either way. You know, it don't matter if the venue made sense or not, but
yeah,
I'm very selective of what we do now because of the brand behind us. I just can't mess it up.
Right. You gotta be careful.
Yeah, like I said, I've learned from my trials and errors, and I just don't wanna.
You just think you state. Think everything through now, huh?
I do, yeah, for sure. Like the venue we had was downtown. It was a nice little spot, but it just the placement where we're supposed to be at just wasn't. It wasn't it. I was just like, was just looking at it like, yeah, it's a nice venue, got a nice like outlook of like the downtown.
Yeah,
but it's just looking at the location, just like, yeah, it's not. First off, it wasn't enough parking, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even though downtown you can park everywhere, it's just a lot of walking and a lot of liability. So I was like, let's not do this.
How did COVID, like, you know, so, like COVID, the shutdown and pandemic, like that puts you out of
we took a hit, but bro, during that COVID time, we used that time to strategize the next move, you know what I mean?
Did you need that break?
I'm sure everybody needed that break.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm sure everybody needed that break. I'm sure everybody needed to see what they had going on outside from the nightlife.
Yeah,
you know what
facts.
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, because you get sucked into that shit. And then it's always like you say, you just threw one of the biggest. Was that the biggest show of your life? Okay, so you just threw the biggest show of your life in here 2 days
later.
We already know what's next. Yeah, we already know what's next. Yeah. It was epic, bro. I'm going to keep it real. That shit was
like
epic.
When I was on stage and we did that swag surf little skit, like.
You love that. You love swag surf.
Yeah, bro. But nobody does it. Surf. Nobody does it like me and Kilo.
Oh, I've seen it.
They dropped swag surf 100 times. Yeah. 2 times
prior. Before
me and Kilo dropped that shit. Yeah, and it was me and Kilo was like, should we drop it, bro? Because they already dropped it twice. I'm like, we're like, fuck it. We gonna do it our way.
Yeah.
Because me and Kilo got a way. We do it. And when we
shout
dropped
out Kilo,
that,
yeah.
When we dropped that, man.
Kilo is one of my favorite DJs.
Kilo is the king of R&B when it comes to DJing R&B.
Yeah. Such a
good
dude, too.
If you gonna do an R&B show, you gotta call that man.
Yeah.
That's the man that you gotta go and call.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't care what. No disrespect to all the other DJs in Vegas, but when you tell Kilo to play R&B, leave that man alone. Mm. He gonna really play R&B. That's his lane.
Facts.
It's like he grew up in that era. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
He put me onto R&B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, facts. Kilo's the truth for sure.
For sure.
So what have you, where does it like go from here, bro? Like, is this a, in as far as promoting and being a DJ, like you throw some of the you just threw Rod Wave. You just put on the biggest show, you know, that the city's seen in a minute, right? So now, but you're also the DJ.
Yeah.
Do you like doing both or do you?
I love doing both. Okay, I love hosting. I love DJing. I love putting on the show. I like doing it all. Like I wear a lot of hats, bro.
Yeah.
I wear a lot of hats. Like I'll even take control of the whole security protocol. I do all of that. I make sure that A, B, and C, A through Z is complete.
Yeah.
That's one of my biggest things. Security is really one of my biggest things ever since, like, you know, we've had incidents in our period events.
Oh yeah. I've been there. Yeah,
ever since all those stuff that we've encountered, I was like, James Trav, like, we gotta make sure the security stuff is locked down.
Locked the fuck down.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I always encourage promoters or any of my friends that want to throw parties, man, call the police and have them pull up. Pay the police, man. Have them pull up.
It's expensive, but it's a costly
price, but
it's very worth it to keep your name alive in the city.
And you just want that relationship. If
you get blacklisted in the city, bro, it's a wrap. You can't do nothing.
Have you ever, like, almost gotten blacklisted? I can.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
You've been through the ringer, bro.
Yes, I have.
You've been through it all, bro.
I've been through it all.
That's why I have to say, bro, I really do, you know, I really do respect the fuck out of what you've been able to accomplish, because I've been there for so long and I've been to so many of your parties. I know firsthand the shit you've had to deal with.
Man, so listen, like, when I first started DJing, I've built this following of, like, it was a negative entity, you know what I'm saying? It was catering to everyone, but now when I DJ, I cater to nothing but the ladies, because at the end of the day, the ladies will bring.
Lesson learned. Yeah.
Listen, man.
Yeah,
definitely, like, yeah.
Because you used to play some, it used to be some hood parties.
Some hood.
Yeah, facts. Those were popping. They were cracking, bro. Beat banger days were popping.
Everybody's saying the hood love can.
Bro, hey. So, okay, let's reminisce. Let's take a walk down memory lane real quick. The beat bangers, man. Epic time, epic era. You know, like, I don't know if you want to get into what happened really, but
that was me and DJ Knox.
DJ Knox, we
started the beat banger scene with DJ Knox. That's
beat bangers. Yep.
Yeah. At the time, you know, Bruce was going through his time, you know, his learning lesson and stuff. So, I just didn't want to attach myself in that entity that was going on at the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Shout out to him. You know, he was a very humble dude, but there was just a lot of drama going on behind closed doors. Not between us, but he was just going through a lot in his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was trying to be there for him, but it was hard when every show we would, you know, would do, someone would, like, come at me like I did what he had done or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't want to get into detail. At the end of the day, like, I just had to... We had to, like, just move in different paths and stuff, because we had two different lanes that we was going in.
So that
I still mess with him to this day, you know, like, he DJs at Girl Collection and stuff. So.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's beautiful. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he DJs at Girl Collection.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Did that split, like hurt you or, like, make things stressful for you? Or, because that was epic. Beat Bangers was epic. You know, that like, you guys really had shit rocking, especially for the 18 and over crowd. You know,
that was the college
time. It was the go to parties, bro, at that time. Like, I would go to other parties and, like, yo, this shit is not even
but
close.
Like I said, bro, like, when I do events, bro, I don't just do the events anymore just to play a song or, you know what I'm saying? I got to leave a memory to you. So that way, you know, like, the next party we announced, we're like, oh yeah, their party was, that last party was so lit. I got to come back.
Yeah. Facts. Facts.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
If I never met Bruce, I would have never met
Bruce.
Kilo.
Oh, really?
Kilo.
Oh,
I met DJ Kilo through DJ Knox. he introduced me to DJ Kilo.
Oh, wow.
And then me and Kilo just started forming a relationship, and the chemistry that we have when we DJ was just, we're like, yo, this bond is crazy.
Yeah. You know
what I'm saying?
How do you deal with artists hitting you up? Let me open, man. Let me open for your show, man.
Again, I'm very selective when it comes to artists, because a lot of artists that rap have a negative entity behind them, and it's just not a good look for a brand to bring somebody in like an artist, you know what I mean, that have...
But a lot of artists don't have a negative entity. What do you say to those artists?
Right now, I'm focused on...
Okay, you're being so nice and political
right
now.
Bro,
your shit ain't hot enough. The shit ain't hot enough. The shit ain't good enough. The shit ain't hot enough. There's no demand for your music, so why would we supply your music?
A lot of people come to the DJ booth and ask us to play their stuff. You know, I come listen to it, and it's just not up to par to the mixing and mastering. And there is certain artists out there that I will, you know, mess with that... I just see a lot of potential in Teddy.
Well, you know, this goes back to the relationships, bro. Teddy has a relationship with you. These other guys don't have relationships, bro.
No, some artists that people get put reach out to me have some relationship with me, but I tell them straight up, like,
the music
is just not the quality that I would play in the club.
And at the end of the day,
tried this in the past. I used to put on showcases. And when I would do showcases, these artists would fuck it up because their friends would start fighting or, you know what I'm saying, or arguing in the back. And it just now, it makes me look bad on the venue. So now I'm like, I'm going to stop doing this stuff. You know what I mean? I was putting people on.
It's hard, though. That's tough because you do want to help people. You do want to give people opportunity. But a lot of these motherfuckers just
ain't
ready.
Some of them are just not humble enough.
They don't approach the situation right. They just feel so entitled. They just think they're the hottest shit walking. They don't know how to communicate. And they just fuck over the relationship. And, you know, it's like, the game is about, like, politics, man. It's not even politics. Just be nice. You know what I'm saying? Just be regular,
I'm telling
bro.
You, it's about humbleness, bro. Yeah. If you're just starting off as an artist and you're hot and the city is messing with you, but you're not humble, bro, you're not going to get far. It doesn't work that way. Like the city's strange. You know, it's crazy because Teddy's not even from here, and he got a lot of support.
Yeah,
but there's some people that's really from Vegas that grew up here that turned into an artist. Vegas is not a city for support, bro. Let's just be real. Let's be real. Let's be 100. Like Vegas does not support local talent.
Facts. It's been that way.
Yeah.
It's been that way. And I don't know why. I don't know what it is, but
I'm pretty sure you tried something, right? You tried putting a couple artists on.
Yeah. I managed Teddy.
Yeah, no,
I managed Party and She. And you know, I've been around this, you know, the local scene for
you guys
for
do a
years
party and
years.
You guys try to have other people open up for y'all, right?
Right, right. And
what happened with that?
It's just I don't know, man. Just people don't care. Because I'm gonna be honest. These artists don't really like. They don't market themselves.
You think
you know like they
you
don't.
You got artists that came to y'all and wanted to open up for y'all.
Yeah.
All these shows that we do.
I can't imagine.
My DMs go crazy.
You have to seclude yourself at this point, huh?
I do.
You have to just really ignore shit because.
And it's not no disrespect.
No, but you can't answer everybody.
No, and I can't please everyone because with the Rod Wave show, not everybody was pleased. With the Beano show, not everybody was pleased. But I can't satisfy every single person in this city.
It's not about it's a Beano show. It's not about you. It's not about that artist.
Exactly.
Or the opening artist. Like, no. You know, that if it makes sense, then yeah, like if you're if you have created demand, that's why I tell artists, man. It's you wanna do music, that's cool. You wanna do music business is supply and demand.
Yeah.
So if you wanna get these gigs and get booked, bro, create a demand.
And listen,
you can get booked.
A lot of artists, bro, I don't just do handouts. I make people work for it. So some artists I did, you know, I'm like, all right, sell this many tickets and you can come perform. They can't even sell 5 tickets, bro.
Because they probably feel disrespected. Like, oh, he's going to make me sell tickets. But you know, they won't even do that.
They're not. I've never made an artist pay for it to perform at any of my events.
Yeah.
I've never
just
had an opener.
Tickets, yeah.
And I've never told them like, hey, you need to pay $1,500 for a slot to open for a 10-minute set. I've never done that. I'm about getting your music out there, but
It's gotta,
I don't
it's
just
gotta
do
make
handouts. You gotta go and work for it, bro.
Well, you're a businessman, and at the end of the day, that show is your business, and you have to make money. So make it make sense. You want to perform, make it make sense.
But if you can't even sell 5 tickets, why should I let you touch the stage? If you don't have a fan, you know what I'm saying?
There's no demand.
So it's like,
yeah, it doesn't make sense for you. I feel it, bro. It's got to be so frustrating. But you know, on the other end, like, as you know, I was an artist back in the day, and then managing artists, you know, trying to reach out to people like you all the time, it's like, all right, like. You got to find a different approach. Like, if you want to get booked by K&M, you got to find a different approach.
Like, a lot of artists,
you know
what
I mean?
You
got to figure it out.
A lot of artists don't understand, like, when you come to a club, right, and you want your music played, don't just go up to the DJ and say, hey, play my music.
Right.
That costs, you know what I'm saying? Especially if a DJ has a set already that he's doing musically. Like, he already knows what song he's going to drop after this and this and that.
Yeah.
And then you're going to come in the middle of his set and be like, hey, play my song. And it's not even in the BPM that I'm already at.
They don't even know.
And then the vibe is off. The vibe is up here and the artists come here and the vibe is down here. It's just like, bro, how am I supposed to take the party from here? Now you're going to drop it down to that. And everybody's going to look at me crazy like, what are you playing?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And they don't even be having DJ packs. And
no.
They don't even like, your DMs are crazy just off of DJing, but promoting too, it's got to be crazy. You just go in a shell. If I was you, I'd just go into a shell and just only talk to my team and have like a manager for people to come and contact me.
That's what James is for.
Okay, yeah, because I couldn't deal with that shit. Like,
I send everybody to James. I'm too nice. I'm way too nice. You can see I'm right here talking to you and I can't even, I'm not even talking shit about it. I'm too nice. So whenever an artist asks me to, hey, bro, can I open, or a media person, hey, bro, can I shoot? Go talk to James. Hit up James. Here's his app. Go hit him up. I can't say no. If I say no, I just feel like an asshole. And I'm just like, after I say no to you, I'm like, hey, come back, bro. I think maybe we can work something.
It's got to be draining because it's just never ending with these artists, you know. And, you know, all respect to the artists out there making their move, trying to come up. But, you know, like I say all the time, there's people that do music and then there's people that do music business. And if you want to do music business and get booked and get paid and get those opportunities, you have to move like a business person, get some representation maybe, probably look a lot better for you, probably go a lot further with some.
I mean, really building an EPK.
An EPK, but building some demand, marketing yourself the right, marketing yourself to where, you know, like there's some hype around. It's all about hype.
It's about trend.
You don't give a trend. As a promoter, you really don't give a fuck who's got the best music.
It goes both ways. There's a gray line on that.
Right, but it's not clear cut. Like somebody could just be ass, but if they sell tickets, you're booking them. Right.
I've done that before. And yeah, they had the crowd interaction was a mixed thing. Like I would get DMs and they'd say like, hey, why'd you have him open? It didn't even make no sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was just a learning lesson for me. But now I don't even book no opening acts unless, you know, my team goes, yeah, let's fuck with
it. Goes out the way, yeah.
Unless like for the next show that we got going on, like one of the artists that I definitely, you know, want to get some stage time to is, I don't know if you heard of a TP. He remixed that song Go Off.
Oh, that's those guys. That song was crazy.
He played a lot of part in promoting Rod Wave. You know, I gave him hard copy tickets, and he was really out there in the streets just selling.
His
music is not bad, bro. Yeah. Like, I mess with his music.
That song goes crazy. I want to know who made the beat. Nothing against like them guys, but that beat is just so
That
beat's
crazy. Yeah,
man,
that blew up on TikTok. Everything now is blowing up on TikTok.
Bro, TikTok
so if you're
is
artist,
the new spot, bro. It's not Instagram is dying. TikTok is the way to go. Everything because they haven't got. It's still the Wild Wild West.
All the people that found out about the Rod Wave show, I'm pretty sure they saw it through TikTok because we ran ads on TikTok and the ad that we put on there went crazy.
These kids spend way more time on Instagram than they do on. I mean, way more time on TikTok than do Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter that's be on TikTok
gotta,
and that, she's 4 years old.
You got to adjust. So fatherhood, man, you got a daughter. Like, how is that? Like, you know, you're young.
I got
dad.
I got 2 daughters.
You got 2 daughters? Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah. You're a savage out here. Damn. You've done some sinning in the past. You got 2 daughters? God damn, bro.
Yeah.
So how is that? Like, you know, your first one, how did that change you?
It definitely, like, it matured me for sure. It definitely matured me for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then having the second one, like, man, I don't even want to get into the whole thing.
Just close the door. It's cool. Yeah. Just close the door. It's cool. No, we can't hear him. Yeah, it's cool. You can't hear them, right? Kinda.
I think so. I think that's what I was hearing. Oh, I got the headphones on. Okay, yeah. Hear it. Okay. So if I got the headphones on, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you're right. But yeah, so it changed you in what way? Sorry.
Oh man, it definitely made me mature a lot. Made me see a lot of things differently in life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It matured me a lot. So having a kid really like made me step up to the plate.
Yeah.
And it made me even go harder on my music, like, you know, DJing, promoting, doing events and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you wanted to get another one?
It just happened.
My boy out here wilding.
It just happened.
That's a blessing though.
It is, man.
Sometimes I feel like I need a kid for that reason. To like shape me up.
Hey, how old are you?
Keep me up and I'm 30.
So you need to have a kid ASAP then.
I know, bro.
Listen.
Hey, no.
Join the fatherhood club.
I just don't want no baby mama drama, bro.
We could be at the park all together. Know, push right? The stroller.
Nah, man. You already, them kids grown already. Shit. Man, I want a kid, but I just don't want no baby mama drama.
Your kid can take
drama,
over this podcast later down the road.
Yeah, maybe.
My protege.
Yes. That's what you get. That's what you're gearing up your daughters for?
My daughter loves the music thing. I'm sure she's gonna be a DJ when she grows up.
It's such a cool thing, like, you know, like it's such a cool, interesting business because you have the fame factor, you got clout factor, you got hype.
I don't even pay attention. I'm not about the whole clout thing, the fame thing. We just do something that's.
You got clout.
I mean,
you definitely.
But
have
I don't
clout.
Pay attention to it.
Yeah, but you gotta know.
I don't
you
utilize say, that. I'm
why
not.
Why don't
like
you
these,
utilize
these
your
people.
Clout, bro? You gotta utilize your clout. Come
because
on, bro.
I stay humble, bro.
That's great, but you know, nice guys finish last, my boy.
I get you, and I'm starting to learn that. Yeah. I'm starting to learn it.
You gotta be an asshole, man.
Yeah.
I mean, look what you've done now. Now you know you can let your nuts drag on the floor a little bit after this Rod Wave show, man. Has the footage came out yet?
We've dropped a couple. Okay. I'm waiting on my team, my media crew to drop ours from this fire. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it was so dope to see Teddy perform under those lights and you know that footage. I got a crazy video of him. It looked like everybody was there for him.
Oh, everyone was definitely.
You did a great job. You did a great job prepping him and you know, getting him like bringing him out.
Honestly, Teddy, it's like he was born to perform live. The way he just performs live is he just got it in him. He got all that swag.
He
looked very comfortable. Mm-hmm. I've worked with some artists before to come open and stuff, and they was very nervous, and you know what I mean? Like when you as an artist, when you see that many people, you get nervous.
That many people.
It's crazy.
It's weird when it's
it's
above you. You know
when we was there and I was on the mic just hosting, I didn't really realize how many people was there. I was just having
fun.
In
the moment.
And then when we dropped the swag surf thing, when the lights turned off and everybody turned their phones on, I'm like,
damn,
this is a lot of people.
Bro. It's an epic view because
I paused
rafters,
for a minute when I seen everything turn on. Yeah. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, it's dope. Yeah, it was epic. It was epic.
It's crazy.
Seeing you under the spotlight, you know, front stage. It was dope. It was just like, you know, for people that
I was never comfortable on the mic. When I first started DJing, I was like, I'm never touching the mic. I'm not touching the mic. I never knew I even had a mic voice till Hard Rock Live when somebody gave me the mic and was like, here, just talk on the mic, just see how you are. Started talking to the mic and it was like, yo, you have a natural voice for the mic. And I'm just like, I don't believe it.
It's weird hearing yourself talk and like being doing that. Trust me. When I started this shit, I'm like, oh no. I can't. It's cringy.
But I've always seen you doing a podcast. I just don't know why you never did it sooner.
Oh, I don't know.
Like, seriously.
Because I always thought it was corny. You know, podcasts used to be corny. In 2016, 2017, they were corny. You know,
but you know what blew it up? Quarantine.
Yeah, facts. Well, like cool shows, you know, like the concept of sitting down and listening to somebody else talk, I underestimated how like informative and how beneficial it could be, you know, and it just helped me communicate, you know, in general, just listen how other people communicate, you know, it's a skill. It's the art of communication, you know, it's very important, but I appreciate that. But yeah, now we're here and now I have to listen to myself talk all the time and it's super annoying still.
The show is dope, though.
Thank you, brother.
It turned out really dope.
Thank you, bro. About to take it up another notch.
For sure,
bro. We got the audio dealers cracking off, you know, some freestyle show. About to have some spitters on here.
Who's about to run the audio dealers?
It's me and Easy Almighty.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Shout out to Easy.
Shout out to Easy Almighty. Yeah.
When I first met Easy, man, I was like, yo, this nigga dope.
No,
like,
he's hard. He goes crazy. He just has to work on his online presence. He doesn't get it.
And he plays dope music.
No, he's a great DJ. He's a great DJ. He just has to, like I just had DJ Susie. You met DJ Susie. So, you know, she was just talking about it. She was like, that's my, like, you know, she markets herself well. She knows what works for her.
But then again, when it comes to female DJs, it's easier for them to market themselves than men.
Yes, but she found her niche and she's working. Okay. She's working what's working for her. So my boy has to figure out what's going to work for him, and he'll get the bigger gigs. You know what I'm saying? Because he got the skills. But yeah, man, is that like a dream of yours? Is to DJ at bigger clubs and like take on gigs like that and really focus on DJs? Or are you more focused on the promoting side of things? And just like DJing at your
all. Right. I want to do it all. Like,
because you're at Girl Collection, right? 2022,
we're about to open a big nightclub.
You're going to open a new club.
Yeah, opening a club.
Bro, Vegas doesn't need another club, bro.
We had the Hookah Lounge.
That doesn't count because you didn't get in to drink alcohol.
That Hookah Lounge was a stepping stone to the bigger picture.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
That was to show the investors and the people behind me, like, we could do this.
Yeah.
You know, like.
With no alcohol.
With no alcohol. Every Saturday, we're bringing in 300, 400 people in that lounge. You know what I mean? The line be wrapped around the building.
Isn't it scary though? Like opening a new club?
It is. It's a big risk that you take.
Because, bro, the Palms.
Chaos.
These other clubs that are opening up, bro. We have too many. It's too much competition, bro.
But the only difference that sets us aside from them to ours is we have the locals.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
They target
the tourist and they can't get the locals to come in.
Right.
Number one, no disrespect to the nightlife industry down, you know, Las Vegas Boulevard, but they're pretty racist and keep it real.
I can't
even ask you because you white.
I'm not white.
A lot of my friends that go to the strip, a lot of them get discriminated.
No, I know, trust me. I've worked on the strip. I've worked up and down the strip. It's definitely racist, you know. I mean, the world is racist, but when it comes to hip-hop...
They don't mess with the urban stuff.
Yes, when it comes to hip-hop and rap, just... They don't want it. They never have.
Dre's the only one I can pull it off, but they spend a lot of money to keep
that thing
going.
They spend a lot of money. And they're on the top floor, so who's really going to do some crazy shit on the top floor?
But we found a niche to keeping a club open doing hip-hop.
Yeah, well, if anybody could do it, you could.
Check out McFadden's on Thursdays and Saturdays.
You've been rocking that bitch for a long time.
Telling you that place, the way we play our musically, the format wise, we cater to everything.
Every time I go into McFadden's nowadays, I feel like a creep.
Why?
Because it's all like young. It's a younger crowd in there. You know, it's the younger crowd.
I mean, that's a crowd that grew up with us.
Right. Yeah, that's been with you. And this is another thing I want to give you your flowers on, man. Is the fucking email text message list. Goes crazy. You could probably sell that list for $1 million. I guarantee you could sell that info for $1 million.
The text blast about 15,000 numbers. The email blast about 22,000.
And
it could have been bigger if I was able to figure that out in the beginning of my career.
Yeah, when you first started, like get those.
My mentor is the one that put me onto that.
Bro,
he was like, data. He's like, if you throwing a party and you're not collecting data, there's no point in throwing that party.
No point. Yeah.
So ever since then, I've just been collecting data. Everybody I tell people all the time.
Anytime anybody brings up K&M, I'm like, yo, bro, he's a marketing like fucking guru, bro. Like, but he just does you don't do anything super crazy.
You
just do the basic shit. Yeah. A lot of motherfuckers don't even do the basic shit besides post a flyer on Instagram.
No.
Which does nothing.
It doesn't get nowhere.
Nothing,
doing
bro.
That. Social media is cool and all, but you gotta do some footwork too.
Fact.
Interact with people, go and talk to them face to face, make them feel comfortable, like, oh, your party's about to be dope. I can already tell.
Right. Yeah. Props on that text message list. I've been getting text messages literally for 6, 7, 8 years, bro.
And it's crazy. And a lot of people don't even know how we're getting their numbers.
Bro.
A lot of people reply back and be like, how'd you get my info?
But you know what? It's cool because, like, you know, I get reminded, like, oh, shit, there is a party tonight. You know? I wasn't even thinking about it.
Like, I'll text you
these other
a couple weeks back, and then the day of, I'm going to hit you again, like, party tonight. Pull up. Yeah.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. You have to. It's invaluable, bro.
It works.
It works because it's like it's a text message to my phone.
Directly.
It's not a flyer. It's not no bullshit. It's like I'm part of that community that, you know.
And soon we're gonna be releasing exclusive stuff where our data that we've collected gets the information first of the events that we're doing before mm-hmm. we put it out to the public.
Yeah.
Like, I want them to feel special and be in that VIP list.
You got to, yeah.
They're like, we're getting the information first before it got out to the public.
Yeah, facts.
Giving them the opportunity to buy the tickets before it gets sold out.
Incentivize them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that Raw Wave show tickets, when we had released them, you know, these ticketing, they crashed, bro, when we announced Rod Wave.
Wow.
It crashed. Like, people was on queue for, like, sometimes, like, 30 minutes to an hour.
Why didn't you have it the whole stadium?
You know.
It's better to sell out.
We were trying to compact it. Mm-hmm. It's better to sell out than to,
like, make take it look
a
empty.
Big pie to eat. You know what I mean? Yeah. I wanted to take that slice first because it was our first arena show.
Mm-hmm.
But there, and throughout that process, there was a lot of trials and error in that arena, mm-hmm. like, show that we just did. So now that we know what to do for the next one, we'll definitely open up more. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I guess it's demand. I was like, you guys doing Rod Wave at Thomas
and
May.
The Thomas and May sold out so fast.
I was like, Rod Wave doing arenas?
Bro, I wasn't sold on that thing too until, like, my team sold me on it. Icon sold me on it. I was just like,
you got that.
I don't know. Because, Rod Wave wasn't my lane.
Right.
I don't really listen to Rod Wave, but then listen to him more and more, I'm like, yo, okay, this is actually hard.
It's different because some artists, like, you know, they're hype. They're like a lot of hype and, you know, they're like popping, but quote unquote popping, but they don't sell tickets like that. But,
let's see.
You know, there's a lot of artists like that, bro.
Where I had to really bust my ass to sell tickets.
You don't have to say no names. I'm not going to allow you to say no names, bro. I'm not going to allow you to say no names.
There's a couple artists that we booked and I really had to push.
Yeah.
I've really had to push the marketing side of it with my team. And we're like, yo, we got to really push this because even his name's not selling it.
Is that Teddy?
Yeah.
Oh, Theodore. Look at Theodore. Oh, man. I knew he was over here. I knew that waddle when I seen it. Come get on camera, man. Come crash the show.
That's
come
what
on.
You came for, right?
Come on, Theodore.
you trying to
hit
the hookah? What you want?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Nah, yeah. The marketing goes crazy, man. You got a hell of a team. But, man, I'm proud of you, man.
Hey,
I'm going to be honest, man.
We built that from scratch, too. The teamwork that we had from scratch.
You should do a documentary, man. Because there's been so many, like, eras and episodes of your journey that need to be documented,
bro. Everybody we need
to
vlog everything we do.
Bro, you should. You should vlog a lot, you know, just, like, going back to, you know, the Beat Banger days, those parties, the run-ins with the police, fucking...
If you're a hip-hop promoter in Vegas...
Yeah, who are those promoters? They did that Puya show. They did
Jam Nation,
bro.
That's my guy, Zach Hammond, man.
Shout out to Zach. Hey, I got to get Zach on, bro, because Jam Nation era was
he
epic.
On the crypto now. That man is, he was
he's
ahead of his
smart.
Time.
Yeah, he's always
I'm telling you, when we had, he booked Puya, he booked Rich the Kid. There was another artist he had booked before they even blew up. What are those? Oh, man. 44, is it? 44 ounce
van or something
like that.
Yeah, I got you.
He had them too, and they was pretty dope.
Yeah.
You know, he did a
shout out to Zach
Jam Fest. He did a Jam Fest
because they was throwing parties like at houses and shit, bro. I would go to their house parties and shit, bro.
He did
like,
houses, and then he went to Casino Lounge.
Yeah.
That's when he did his Thursdays there, and he did these raves. Mm-hmm. Yo, his raves was crazy,
bro. And then he brought out Lil B.
That's the only white man that I know that would throw a hip hop show and have the black people come. I'm like, yo,
bro, that just
that's the only promoter
epic.
That I'll really fuck with.
He was
tough.
He was that was epic, and that all needs to be documented, bro.
Yo,
because that was epic. You had to be there, bro.
For sure. We've done shows together, and it was crazy.
It was crazy, bro.
We did a lot of like warehouse parties that warehouse raves that turned crazy.
Any hip hop promoter in the city, they gotta come across K&M. It's inevitable. They got to deal with you in some way, shape, or fashion.
I mean, you gonna run into me down the road?
Run it.
No matter what.
Yeah. Have other promoters try to block you and shit?
Yeah. There's a lot of promoters that hate that don't want to encounter me, but they end up having to because you know when it comes down to like the urban community, a lot of them got love. You know, they all come to my shows that we all dab up, and you know they're like, "Yo, the stuff that you be throwing, bro, it's dope."
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like we really try to do it for the culture. We try.
Yeah.
We try.
No, you do
bro.
It. You know, you do it. Like I said, especially in Vegas, where we don't always get the. You know, we don't have a fair facts, and we don't have like you know these kinds of. areas where we can go and actually touch the culture, and it can become tangible, and it can be, you know, Bino in front of right here. Like, that's important to the fans. That's important to the people. That inspires people to do more in hip hop and contribute more to the culture. You know what I'm saying? Just being able to promote it, or I mean, just being able to touch it and be there. But it wouldn't be possible without people like you doing everything that you've already done.
And
you know,
and it's and crazy. Team. Yeah, yeah. Like, people look at it and they're like, "Oh, that's easy to do. We're gonna do that." And they try it and they're like, "Holy shit! Like, damn, they really do a lot." Yeah, there's a lot that goes on behind closed doors, bro.
Especially with artists, and especially with rappers.
Yes, bro.
Politics, all this extra shit, bro.
It's really about politics, man.
How do you navigate through all that?
There's plenty of times we ended up just, even when the police said no, we just said, fuck it, yeah, because we're going to do it for the city. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we just take the hit at the end. Just said, fuck it. Shit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to do it.
Okay. Yeah, but, you know, I was always, like, going against the police. Mm-hmm. You know, I was always like, they say me no, and tell me no, I'll be like, we going to do it. I don't give a fuck what they say. Mm-hmm. But now, since we both see eye to eye, and we... You know, a lot of, like, the events that we do, we go through Metro first before we throw it. So that way there's no headache in the back end. Or before the show, they say, hey, you can't do the show. Because Metro won't cancel your show, like, a week before. They'll cancel it an hour you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
it's
fucked up.
Yeah, it's really fucked up. When we threw Blueface, they canceled that show day of, and we had to find a venue within the next hour. And
yeah, I remember that.
I was moving around trying to find a venue.
Yeah, man.
We made it happen, though. So
yeah, you always make it happen, bro. Yeah, you've been on a hell of a journey, man. I want to thank you for pulling up, man. I think we should wrap it up.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, man. We got to do this again, man. I'm excited for what the future has to hold for you. Congratulations on not giving up on your dreams and everything, you know, your journey.
Yeah.
And it just continues to manifest into something bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's cool to see.
There's definitely a lot of stuff in 2022,
yeah,
man.
Facts,
I'm telling you, like,
man.
You just... Y'all see it when we announce it. It's gonna be good. The city gonna love what we gonna put on.
Yeah.
We're very selective who we want to be choosing to put on to on stage, artist wise, locally, major artists. So you can't throw all of them, because, you know, again, it falls back on politics. There's certain people out here in Vegas that can't perform because of gang unit, Metro,
all that extra shit. But. You know, you've definitely been on a hell of a journey, man, a hell of a run. I'm glad to see, you know, it is inspiring. It's an inspiration for real, just to keep going, like, through the bullshit, through, you know, wanting to quit,
one time where I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done. I'm gonna go get a 9-to-5 job. I'm done.
Don't.
For real.
So what click?
My team, they just, you know, I honestly turned my phone off for a whole, like, 3 days, nobody could get a hold of me, and my team pulled up on me at my house and was like, look, bro, you can't give up. We're here for you. Like, you came away too far for us to just throw all this stuff away. There's a lot of stuff that we've made mistakes, and we're going to fix it. We're going to get through it, and I need you to just keep your head up. And my team really keeps my head up, because everybody says it, man. I'm an emotional-ass motherfucker, bro, when it comes to events, because I'm very passionate about it, bro. I'm very passionate about the stuff that we do. Like, I want to make sure everything is perfect and is there.
Yeah, facts. Yeah, absolutely, man. You need a team. You're nothing without your team. You got a solid team. Shout out to the crew.
Yeah, for sure.
Shout out to Helena. Shout out to Trash. Shout out to James. Shout out to everybody.
Kilo,
Teddy, the whole gang, man. Darren.
Everyone.
Yeah, facts, bro. Well, you know, my door's always open, bro. I'm really excited to see what you got coming up 2022.
Look, I'm going to come back with the team, and we're going to do an announcement.
With the team next time.
We're going to do an announcement at your show, at your podcast. And you could drop it right now.
I'm holding you to that.
Teddy, you heard it?
Hey, he's doing an announcement on my podcast for this next show.
Next show. But my team got to be right
the
here.
Team,
you know
no, the team's right
boom,
there.
Boom, boom,
yeah,
boom.
Yeah. Bring them all. Bring there. Helena. Bring them all,
everybody.
Bro. Everybody's
man,
invited.
Man,
if
you bring Helena, everybody in this motherfucker's getting drunk. I'm telling you right now.
I'm already knowing
it's a
shit. I know.
We leaving this bitch on Ubers, bro.
No, facts. Facts. Yeah. Helena's crazy. But I love you, bro. You're like, for real, you're an inspiration. So, you know what I'm saying? Keep going. We'll see. We'll see what the future has. But love you, bro.
Appreciate you, man. Love you too, bro.
Yes, sir, man.
Hey, we go way back.
Yes, sir.
For sure.
Peace.
It's the E-Square Podcast.